Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair First Quarter 2012 Financial Results Call on the 31st of May 2012. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or other similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating it in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industry, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I'll now hand the conference over to Evgeny Chuikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to today's call. Participating today with us are Mikhail Shamolin, our President and Chief Executive Officer, Anton Abugov, First Vice President, Head of Strategy, and Alexei Buyanov, Senior Vice President and CFO. You can find today's presentation on our website at systemair.ru, and I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for his comments.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss Systemair's first quarter 2012 results. In the reporting period, we have seen a good year-on-year growth across all our investments, resulting in a 9% increase in revenues to $7.9 billion, 17% increase in OIBDA to $2.0 billion, and almost threefold increase in net income to $381 million. In the first quarter, the total debt at the holding company level decreased by 28% to $1.3 billion, while we also remained at net cash level of $335 million. Q1 results are foremost characterized by strong performance at MTS, which continued to execute its focus on profitability by improving subscriber base, stimulating higher data traffic, and optimizing marketing costs. This resulted in 10% year-on-year OIBDA growth and an excellent improvement in margins by 2.7 percentage points to 41.4%. Solid results were also achieved at Bashneft, where regulatory pressure in the reporting period was offset by higher year-on-year oil prices and the reversal of certain provisions set in 2010. Combined with a 4.1% year-on-year increase in production, these factors led to a double-digit increase in the company's revenues and OIBDA. Developing assets maintained positive momentum, where despite seasonal effects, revenues increased by 19% to $1 billion, and the OIBDA loss was substantially narrowed. Key drivers for this were increased OIBDA at SMM, which rose several fold to $10 million, improved profitability at MTS Bank, and reduced losses in Shyam for a second consecutive quarter, excluding one-off items reported in Q4. As we have reported at the time of our full-year results, we are closely monitoring developments in the Indian telecom market and will make a decision on future investments once the Indian government publishes clear and precise auction rules. Our position has not changed, and we continue to believe that the price recommendations published by TRAE are not acceptable. Furthermore, until the situation is resolved, we've taken a number of steps to rapidly reduce expenditure at Shyam, which is being implemented now. We hope that the Indian government will provide final clarity within the next few weeks. Since the beginning of the year, Systemair has made good progress on a number of strategic portfolio developments. following our agreement to merge MedC with Moscow government's healthcare assets, we are now in discussions with several experienced foreign investors to sell a further 25% stake in the combined business. We expect completion of these discussions over the next few months. In the high-tech part of our portfolio, RTI accelerated its expansion efforts with a preliminary agreement to merge with Envision and the successful offer to buy out minority shareholders of Citronix. While NIS strengthened its leading position in the navigation market by acquiring M2M Telematics. A key development post reporting period was our decision to reorganize Bashkirenergo and sell our stake in the generation business to Interrao. Our aim was to monetize part of our investment but retain exposure and upside in the sector. As a result, Sistema will receive a cash consideration of around 14 billion rubles and also gain majority interest in the distribution business. The reorganization is expected to complete towards the end of the year, and further announcements will be made as the deal progresses. While progressing this with these announced deals, Sistema is actively renewing further investment opportunities. At the beginning of May, we successfully launched a $500 million Eurobond. Demand from investors was encouragingly high and served as another example of Sistema's attractive investment case. This balance sheet strength allows us to pursue multiple opportunities both at subsidiary and hold company level. As such, we're closely monitoring the government's privatization proposals, and while the program timing remains to be finalized, we have identified several areas of interest ranging from infrastructure to natural resources and agricultural sectors. Finally, as announced today, the Board of Directors of Sistema has approved a $300 million buyback program, which will commence on the 6th of June. The program will target GDRs and ordinary shares of Sistema and is expected to last through October. We strongly believe in our underlying value, and with exceptionally strong financial position and multiple growth areas, we think Sistema offers one of the best upside opportunities in the market. I will now hand over the call to Alexey Buyanov, who will discuss our financial results in more detail. Please, Alexey.
Thank you, Mikhail. Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And thanks to all of you for joining us. Let's start with the overall group results. In the first quarter, year-on-year, consolidated revenues grew by 9.3% to $7.9 billion. OIBDA was up 17.2% to $2 billion. And net income attributable to Sistema more than tripled to $380 million. Such an impressive year-on-year shift resulted first from the better performance in both core assets and developing assets, and a 9% appreciation of ruble against US dollar in the reporting quarter, which influenced substantially our net income. The group's OIBDA margin increased to 25.5% in the first quarter of 2012, from 23.8% in the corresponding period of 2011. Turning to our business unit highlights, the core assets demonstrated a strong performance year on year, with 8% growth in revenues, 11% growth in OIBDA, and 41% growth in net income, attributable to the group. The business unit results, along with the rise in oil prices, were influenced by a shift to higher marginal services in MTS sales and an efficient cost optimization program throughout the business unit. The developing assets year-on-year increased their revenues by 18.8% to $1 billion, which reduced both OIBDA loss and net loss, mostly due to the improvements in the profitability of the banking segment and reduction of costs in share. In the presentation published on our website, you can see the group's financial results overall as well as by business units in more details. In the reporting period, the group was not active with acquisitions, including purchases of stakes in the existing subsidiaries. So our investment expenditures are mostly represented by CapEx numbers and purchases of short-term and long-term investments. The group invested $750 million in CapEx in the reporting quarter. That is 42% more than in the corresponding period of 2011. This increase in capital expenditure reflected the execution of MTS plant investment program to build up 3G and backhaul network. The major part, 83% of the group's capital expenditures, is concentrated in our core assets portfolio. Shifting to the balance sheet, I would like to update you on our debt and cash position. In the first quarter, the group's total debt was 2.1%, up to $16.8 billion, compared to the year-end. The increase resulted from 9% appreciation of Russian ruble against U.S. dollar, while the group's net principal payment of the debt amounted to $770 million. In ruble terms, the consolidated debt decreased by 7.5% to 490 billion rubles from 530 billion as of the year end. The group's debt maturity schedule remained almost stable, with the share of short-term debt about 25%. The group's net debt amounted to $15.2 billion at the end of March, compared to $13.5 billion at the December 31st of 2011. The group's debt currency profile demonstrates very limited currency exposure, with share of Russian ruble-denominated loans amounting to 75% of the total debt at the group's level and to 96% at the corporate holding level. There are no debt obligations denominated in euros. The total debt at the corporate holding level decreased by 28% year-on-year, totaling $1.3 billion. The published debt repayment schedule reflects our plans to minimize the debt position by 2013 by paying back more than $650 million of debt by the end of 2011. Importantly, we finished the first quarter of 2012 with a net cash position of $335 million compared to net debt of $1.2 billion in the first quarter of 2011. In conclusion, I would like to thank you for your attention and hand the call over to Evgeny.
Alexey, thank you. We're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press star 2. There will be a short pause while participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Igor Semenov from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much. I just have a couple of questions. First, a technical one. In your results and in the presentation, the specific numbers for NIS are missing. I was just wondering why did you show them separately in the previous results but decided not to show them now. And the second question on the buyback, I think you were quite specific on the last conference call saying that you intend to cancel the shares that you will be buying back if this buyback program is approved. Why are you not making this commitment at this stage? Thank you.
Okay, first on NIS, I understand that we haven't did publish the annual results of NIS, but we're not publishing the quarterly results, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
Yeah. We will publish annual results of NIS again. We're not publishing quarterly results because it's a fairly small business, and the way the contractation is being done, quarterly results mean a lot less than annual results. So we intend to show, as I said, results of NIS at the end of the year.
Okay.
As far as the cancellation of stock is concerned, our intention is still to cancel the stock. The issue, however, that we are running into, and we are basically engineering around at this point, is that in order to cancel the stock, we would have to go, according to Russian law, through a very complex reorganization with changing the charter and funding capital and all of that. And then we are looking now for ways how to optimize this process so we don't get strangled with not being able to do any transactions because we're in the middle of corporate restructuring.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel your request, please press the star followed by the 2. Thank you. Our next question comes from Anna Lepetukina from Troika Dialogue. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello. I have 2 questions. Can you please explain what was the reason for a 5-fold increase in corporate expenses? Because if I remember correctly, before you were saying that corporate expenses, that you are planning to reduce corporate expenses, whereas this quarter we see a massive increase. So should we extrapolate it for the whole year, and should we expect an increase, or you still plan to decrease corporate expenses? And my second question is on Detsky Mir performance, because I can see that the loss year on year increases. So what is the reason for this, and what are your plans regarding this asset? Thank you.
Which number on the corporate expenses are you referring to? Because I'm not sure I'm finding it.
Because I'm looking at OEBITDA, corporate and other, and I see that in the first quarter 2012, you reported 29.6 loss, whereas last year you reported a loss of only 6 million.
Are you referring this to Detsky Mir?
No, this I refer to corporate and other. And if we're talking about Detsky Mir, then yes, there is a loss as well of 15 million on the EBITDA line.
Which page of the presentation is that?
I'm looking at the press release. In the press release, it's page 12.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to comment. This is the biggest thing was forex losses.
Was what?
Forex.
But why it is on the EBITDA line? It can be on the net income line, but not on the EBITDA line. It is
net loss. As I've got it correctly, it's net loss.
No, but if I'm looking at the EBITDA, OEBITDA line as well, I can see that there was an increase in the loss for both the corporate center and Detsky Mir. But this couldn't be because of the forex exchange loss.
Well, this is more because of the way we've just paid for the bonuses of the headquarter, and it was different in first quarter of 2011. I've got it that it is a comparison 2011 and 2012. But all over the year, we are quite right that in the year period there is a decrease for the spending. But for first quarter to quarter, that was the once we compared quarter to quarter, it was hike in 2012 compared to 2011 because of the different schedule for these payments.
So for the whole year, we should expect a decrease in corporate expenses.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And about Detsky Mir?
Yes, on Detsky Mir, actually the operating performance of the company is better than last year, but the increased loss in the first quarter is due to the fact that we've opened up new shops, and we're actually opening them quite rapidly. The plan is to open new 50 stores this year, and that's why we have an increased loss on the OIBDA level. The first quarter in Detsky Mir typically is the lowest quarter, but overall we expect Detsky Mir to be profitable for this year.
And like for like growth in Detsky Mir operations, in teens, which is the clear message that the Detsky Mir performance is really good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alexei Gogolev from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead with your question.
Good evening, Mikhail. Could you clarify or assume what would be the potential impairment if you were in a hypothetical scenario to exit India? I remember you had 1 billion impairment in the fourth quarter, what would you estimate the total impairment?
The two parts of the story. If we talk about cash impact, it's going to be 1.5 billion in debt, which is guaranteed by Sistema. So this debt will have to be transferred onto Sistema with hopefully much better terms that it currently exists in India. If we talk about impairment on the net profit basis, which is the accounting impairment, that would be $1 billion exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And of course, you cannot. Yeah, of course, you cannot add the two. Those are two different things.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anna Kurbatova from Gazprom Bank. Please go ahead with your question.
And good afternoon. My first question is also about India. You said that since you have this problem with licenses in India, you implemented some cost-saving measures in the first quarter, and we see some impact on the EBITDA level of this company. Could you elaborate what kind of measures, what types of expenses you can or you could save in a such a short period of time? Thank you.
Yes, mainly it's expenses related to subsidizing sales of CDMA handsets, because we have reoriented the strategy of Shyam from voice to voice and data, and mostly data, and subsidies on data modems are much less or mostly non-existent. Therefore, we reduce the amount of CDMA cell phones sold and increase the amount of data modems, and that has a double effect. You reduce the sales expense and you increase the revenue because ARPU on the data modems is higher than on the phones. So that's basically the impact of the first quarter. But the cost reduction measures we're talking about now is basically stopping sales and reducing any sort of activity which relates to any investment beyond basically keeping the company running until we get clarity on what happens with the auction, the price, and so on and so forth. Because in this kind of uncertainty period, we don't see any point in investing anything extra in India.
Thank you very much. And my second question is about reports that you are going to implement the new organizational structure on the corporate level. Could you also elaborate something special on this, because it's only 1 year since you have implemented or you have implemented last or current year's organizational structure with base assets and developing assets, and in general, what are you expecting to be improved after you implement this new one? Thank you.
Yeah, I would not overstress the importance of this. I would not even call it a new organizational structure or organizational restructuring. It's more an enhancement of the system that we already have in place. We're working on basically attracting more qualified portfolio managers and enhancing the investment process. But as far as the operations of the company are concerned, there will be no change. I mean, we continue to move ahead with our strategy of becoming a top-class investment company, and we want to create more opportunities to attract high-caliber professionals into our team. That's the whole intent of this the enhancement process. So I definitely wouldn't overstress it, just a typical operational issue. No big deal.
Does it mean that any decision in terms of disposing or acquiring new assets in certain industry will depend mostly on the decision of this person, of the investment manager, or it will this new structure will in some way change your decision-making process on the corporate level?
Investment decisions, like in any top-class investment company, will be taken by an investment committee, which is the most important decision-making body for investment issues. And this investment committee will be comprised of top Sistema managers plus the portfolio managers.
Thank you very much. My very last question is a technical one. Are you going to present the results of your agricultural business going forward during the year, or it is still very tiny to be separated from your corporate results? Thank you.
During the year, definitely no. For the year, probably yes. We'll see how significant it becomes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anton Rozanov from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Thanks for the presentation. I have just one question, a follow-up to the question about the impact in case of your exit of India. So you mentioned the 1.5 billion of debt to be payable by Sistema, but I also remember there's a put option in the stake of the company held by the Russian government, which would potentially be worth $700 million. Is that correct? Could you clarify whether it would be? I remember you said you previously mentioned that you thought it would be regarded as force majeure, and you would be able to share the losses with the government. Thank you.
Yes, of course. We have this put option still in place, and as I said during the last conference call, it will be a matter of very serious conversation with the government, because it is a force majeure and it does go under the Russian-Indian Investment Treaty. So we would be asking the government to go together with us in a litigation to claim the investment back if exit ever takes place. So I cannot tell you exactly yes or no. This put option does not come into play until 2017 anyway, so it's not an immediate concern, but we'll definitely do everything possible that is in our power to minimize or, you know, cancel it altogether if we can.
I see. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Anna Lepetikina. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello. I have one follow-up question. I'm looking at the net cash position at the corporate center, and I noticed that cash decreased by something around 250 million. Can you please explain the reason for this decrease? Because as far as I remember, you were not buying anything. Thank you.
Because most of the cash moved to the deposits, and this is long-term deposits. Well, with that, it is not highlighted in the cash position, in the cash and cash equivalents.
So, but just to clarify, it's a long-term deposit, because if I remember correctly, last quarter you kind of reclassified that some deposits you now consider as cash. So now you are doing it back, or it is different deposits?
It is same, and we're saying that it is cash and cash equivalents. Once we will count it with the deposits, well, the cash position together with the deposits placed, well, more or less the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rita Sovian from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. My question is a follow-up on this put option from the government. So you told that the option is maturing in 2017, but isn't there any option for the government to ask to pay you earlier, like if you stop working in India?
This is Anton Abugov. Thank you for your question. We do not have any a strong sort of KPIs to perform, so the government could really put us. The only soft issue is that we remain as a controlling shareholder in Sham, And no matter what, there is a plan that we are going to remain. So basically, there is very little chance that it's going to happen.
We cannot guarantee, of course, because anything may happen, but I tell you that we have arguments and we have intention to fight pretty hard for this.
Basically, just to clarify once again, basically the existing situation is not a trigger for the government to put us any equity.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
I think we'll finish the call now. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Have a very good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes today's Systema First Quarter 2012 Financial Results Conference Call. Thanks for your participation. You may now disconnect.